And I'm going to say something else on a serious note. Pastor Ed was sharing something with me, and it just grieved me. It wasn't anything about any of you. But it just grieved me. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, because of the president's position on same-sex marriages. And, you know, and Christians are just saying some vicious things about homosexuals. And it's wrong. I mean, it's just wrong. Not saying what they're doing is right. That's wrong also. But what we're saying, I mean, Pastor Ed was telling me about someone that shared that they need to round them all up, put them in the area, put a big fence around them, and then just drop food down from a helicopter, and eventually they'll just all die out because they won't procreate. That's not funny. These are believers. You look at the image and likeness of our Father that they're portraying. Turn with me to Colossians 3, please. I was thinking about this as I walked around and walked in. And I'm going to start reading. Actually, I'm going to start reading at verse 5-4. I'll start from verse 1. No, seriously, I'm not trying to be funny. If you then be risen with Christ, how many of you are risen with Christ? Okay. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of obedience, of disobedience, in the which you also walk sometime when you lived in them. So we used to act like that. All right? But now, you also put off all these. Says you also, which means even though we used to walk in some things, there's some things that still hang around us. And it's saying you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, that's the desire to cause pain or distress, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man, which is his deed with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, this guy, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. See, we're the elect of God, we're holy, we're beloved. So he's telling us, since we're holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, I mean tolerating, putting up with one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And somewhere alongside all these things, somewhere slightly below, no, above what? That's above kindness, above bowels of mercies, above humbleness of mind, above forbearing one another, above forgiving one another, above all of those things, put on charity. That means put on what? Love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How are you going to let the peace of God rule in your hearts when you want to take some of his children, even though they're going astray, and put them in the area, put a fence around them, and watch them die? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Folks, that's what we are to be. That's how we're to conduct ourselves as children of God. And it doesn't say to, you know, let the peace of God rule in your heart as long as you're not around people that sin. It doesn't say that. Our Savior did not do that. He was seen sitting with sinners, tax collectors, folks that were considered bad folks. And his attitude was, it's the sick that need a physician, not the healthy. So why do I need to make house calls on people who are healthy? I'm making house calls on those who need what I have. And it did not matter to him what type of sin the person did. I mean, I was sharing with someone. They were having an issue because their job required them to provide assistance, you know, to a homosexual couple. And I asked them a question. If you were talking with these folks, and one of them admitted how they just been lying one to another, would you have an issue? No. Why not? If you have an issue because they're homosexual, well, homosexual is an abomination. God said, I hate a lying tongue. So what's the difference? None. The difference is here, in our minds, and what we think is despicable. What we think. Well, God thinks having that type of attitude is despicable because it's not representative of who he is. So how can we do it and be proud of it? No, God expects us to walk in love. He so loved the world. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ created man. He created this planet. He created it. And then he put himself in subjection to his creation. And was viciously murdered. And all he could do was forgive us. And go to hell so we wouldn't have to. To take bruises. To have himself beaten. Take all those stripes. So we can be of our right mind. So we can be healthy. And we won't take the time and tolerate some folks who the enemy has bound? Come on, what did he say when he saw that woman that was bound? Was he bound 40 years? And he said, this daughter, 18 years, whom Satan had bound these 18 years? Well, if he so, since God so loved the world, and he sent Jesus to die for the world, what difference should it make to us how long someone has been bound? We have a responsibility to live our lives so that they can be free. It's not, hate doesn't win anyone over. Love does. You have to love through it. When they see, you've heard us say this before. You've heard me say it. You heard Pastor Sarah say it. You heard Pastor Red say it. When the people see the love, they'll receive the word. They'll receive godly wisdom from you when they recognize that you genuinely love them. In spite, folks know when they're doing wrong. They know it. Just like we do. I mean, you just think about it. You're confronted because you did something wrong, and the first attitude usually isn't one of repentance. It's usually one of aggression. You come on strong, so the person will just back off and leave you alone. But we get upset when other people do that to us. I mean, yes, it's a human reaction. But if we're dead, why are we being affected by it? And that's all of us. It's not just me talking to you. It's God talking to everybody in here. Because we're all guilty in one form or another. We have these pets. We call them peeves. And things will happen, and we'll use that as an excuse to fly off the handle or get ourselves all worked up. Why? I got to get my point across. Got to prove that I'm right. It ain't about who's right. It's what's right. And what's right is for us to live our lives. We know the scripture. It says we are ambassadors for Christ. We've been given both the ministry and the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation. Reconciled to who? Reconcile back to God. How? By what we say, by what we do, by how we live our lives. Makes the individual re-examine what they're doing. Maybe I have this thing all wrong. These people love me, and they're representatives of the one true God. I just realized I've been deceived. No, I'm stepping away from this lifestyle. And then they're going to come to one of you and ask, what is it that I have to do? How do I get back? And don't refer to them as so-called Christians just because they received Jesus Christ and are still living the lifestyle. They're Christians just like you are. Just like you are. Raise your hand if you have never committed a sinful act since you've received Jesus Christ as Savior. Exactly. Do you want to be rounded up and thrown behind a fence and just have food dropped to you just enough to survive so you could just die off? Because you sinned? No. Folks, that's one of the things that everybody needs to add to their prayer list. So we pray for those individuals and get their hearts turned so they'll understand they're supposed to love others the same way Jesus loved them. That's what this verse is talking about when it's talking about bowels of mercies. Our Savior went to hell for us in our place, in our stead, even though he knows some are going to reject him. He took the stripes anyway because he loved us. He went to hell anyway because he loved us. And then he told us to do the same. Let's do the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a thought here as you were sharing. When it talks about that verse in verse 12,
mm-hmm.
when it talks about bowels of mercies,
mm-hmm.
not just mercy, but mercies.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about compassion, pity, mercy. Bowels in which compassion resides.
Mm-hmm.
A heart of compassion. Manifestations of pity.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought occurred to me, when you look at the life of Jesus, everyone that came to him to be healed never were turned away.
Right.
Everyone that came to him to be healed was healed. Now, is it possible in those settings where he ministered to multitudes, mm-hmm, and great multitudes, is it possible, we're talking about thousands of people, is it possible that there may have been some that weren't living right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And none were turned away.
Mm-hmm.
All were healed. All were had compassion and pity towards by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And this says here, we're to put on,
that's right,
bowels of mercies, which means that we shouldn't recoil away from people,
mm-hmm,
who are living these lifestyles, but we should let the compassion and the love of God operate through us.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to work? By faith. And we're going to have to take some steps of faith and begin to operate in the love of God towards people that are living lifestyles that are ungodly, mm-hmm, because how are they going to know, how are they going to experience God?
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
Good.
Not with us calling them dirty dogs.
That's
you're going,
right,
to hell. Get out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. And it's just, we know in the truth and we're being exposed to it, but there's many, 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 many that are just sharing just vitriol.
Mm-hmm.
It's just harsh, and there's no love in it, which is exactly what 1 Corinthians 13 says, that you, if you can move mountains,
mm-hmm,
you have all faith to move all mountains, but you don't have love, what are you? A ding-dong.
That's right. That's right. And also, I believe, Pastor Ed, when you look up bowels, that's inside. So in order for those tender mercies to come out, they already have to be in. They have to be in there. And we let them come out. Yeah. This should be over there anyway.
No, what I was going to say is, what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart.
That's right.
And so if we're telling people you're going to hell and this and that and the other, then that means that's what we're feeding on, and that's what we've meditated on. So when the pressure's on and we're put in a situation, that's what's coming out.
That's right.
And that's essentially, if we're feeding on what people say, people think, or what our opinions are about certain lifestyles, and we don't renew our mind, because that's what it says, don't be conformed to this world. So we're not to even be conformed to it, but be what?
Transformed.
By the renewing of our minds, so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Well, if we feed on what people are doing now, I just happened to see this article and it bothered me, so I shared it. But the point is, if we feed on that and say, oh yeah, yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If we go down that path and we let if the entrance of the other stuff can also create some stuff, if we let that seed get in our hearts, that's what's going to come out. Mm-hmm. And we need to change that.
We need to change that.
Because as Pastor Greg was sharing, that particular person who was wrestling with that presented that question to me and also to Pastor Greg in, mm-hmm. in two different church services. But they were really wrestling with that. Mm-hmm. Should I? Shouldn't I? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. What would Jesus have done?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in the body of Christ, what would he have done? Would he have turned them away? Would he have not ministered to them? Mm-hmm. How are they going to know the love of Christ if you mm-hmm. don't? He's operating through these eyes, through these hands, through this flesh body. Mm-hmm. If we turn away, how are they ever going to know the love of God? And so, you know, sometimes you just have to talk out because sometimes for whatever reason people are wrestling with something, you just have to always get it back to what does the word say? Mm-hmm. And then that answers it most mm-hmm. times.
Hey, when you, it's right there to you. Yeah. And when you think about it, what did Jesus do for the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? And he had every right to let them stone her to death. And then he had to say, okay, but after you finish stoning her, go find the guy, because he has to get stoned also. But he didn't do that. What he did was he said, okay, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. You know, I never saw it like that, Pastor Red, but just now he said, see, you always, talking to me, he said, you always say that I don't have categories of sin. That's why I said that. Because being adultery was a sin. That's all. I'm not making light of it when I say it was just a sin, but it was just a sin. And then you had these other sinners that wanted to kill her for sinning. You have sinners wanting to kill because someone else was sinning. And Jesus, if he really wanted to mess with them, he'd said, how would you know where to go and find her in the very act? Yeah. But he didn't even go there. And he could have. But he just said, no. Whoever out there is without sin, you cast the first stone. And he said to her, I don't condemn you. And he called us to do the same. He said, love one another the same way that he loves us. We're to love one another. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So that needs to be our attitude. We don't condemn you. Go sin no more. What if they do? It's not our business. We're not the judge. Yes, Deacon Allen.
When you're talking about putting on, mm-hmm. I looked that up one time and it means to activate mm-hmm. or to execute. So what we're doing is that the love has been poured into us from the time that we were born again.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the ones that choose to activate what is inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
The love, the mercies that are in the bowels of us, and all the other things that are mentioned there, the mm-hmm. kindness, the humility, mm-hmm. the meekness. So if they are in there when we got born again, then we are the ones who can and should and must activate it so that those, not only homosexuals, but anybody else that's out there will see the love of God in us, because if they don't see it in us, who are they going to see it in?
That's right. And see, again, God could have made this very easy for himself. He could have made it so that as soon as we say, Jesus, I receive you as Savior, we have absolutely no choice to do anything except what he said. But he didn't do that. He gave us a choice, and he wants us to choose to love. You know why? He chose to love, and we're made in his image and after his likeness. So he's allowing us to choose. To choose to act like him. Period. In all things. And that means that we're going to have to take some positions that others may think are uncomfortable. But we should be very comfortable extending the love of God to others. We should feel very comfortable. Not dirty. It's not you go and you hug a homosexual and you tell him God loves you. It's not going to jump off in, on you. It's not going to do that. They're the same folks that Jesus died for, just like us. I can't say that enough. We have to get rid of that bias and allow the love that's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost to come out. The title of the message for tonight was His Image Within. And those are the things it's talking about. Just letting what God put in us to come out of us. That's what it is. He didn't make us in His image and have His likeness because He just couldn't think of anything else. If you look at the animal kingdom, obviously He thought of other images and forms that He could have done. But He said, no, the only way this is going to work is for me to have beings that look like me, that operate like me, that sound like me, that loves like me. That's what will keep this planet. That's what will get it back to the state it was in before sin. And He placed all of His confidence and hope in us. How can I say that? He didn't create anybody else to do it. He didn't give that charge to anyone else. Which means He still believes we're going to do it. And He's sticking with us. Throughout all the wrong stuff that we do, throughout all the poor attitudes that we have, all the misbehaving, all the complaining and murmuring and all the stuff, He's not giving up on us. He's not changing His mind. He's not. He believes in us. The least we can do is act like He did everything that He said. And all He's requiring us to do is to just love one, just show love to one another. Coming out of the store this morning, I passed by, a lady, and she looked like she was about, a step away from being homeless. And yet she pulled a cigarette out, full pack of cigarettes. And I'm like, man, that's $10 right there. All right? But she pulled it out and lit it and asked me if that particular store took food stamps. I said, ma'am, I really don't know. And she said, well, do you have a couple of dollars where I can at least get some food from in there if they don't? Yeah, I had a couple of dollars here. I didn't say, well, if you stopped smoking, you'd have at least $10 more. it didn't matter to me. I didn't say, you sure you're going to take this money and buy some food with it? No. Because once I give it, it no longer belongs to me. And if she took it and went and bought two Lucy's, that's on her. That's not on me. I did what I was supposed to do. Period. God impressed you, just, yes, give me. You say, I don't know what she's going to do with that money. None of your business. Your business is to just show love. I gave it to her. I smiled. I said, God bless you. And she smiled and she said, thank you. Bless you too. And that was it. I didn't go to the car, bring out my soapbox, put it down, and start smacking over there with my Bible saying, you must be born again. Did you ever stop to think, maybe she is? We don't know what happened to her. We don't know what life did. So why are we making assumptions? Be thankful there, but for the grace of God, go I. that's what it is. This thing is not complicated. But see, we're not following, guys, and I know this is different, but we're not following Proverbs 4:23. We are not guarding our hearts. We're not keeping our hearts. We're letting stuff come in that shouldn't be in, and it's coming out of our mouths. It's coming out in actions, and those words and those actions don't even suggest the image and likeness of God. Don't even suggest it. And so folks aren't believing what we're saying because they're saying it's not being real. And you know something? They're right. Because if it were real, we would project it. But we let stuff get in us because one of the things that we always say, I have to protect my eye gate. I have to protect my ear gate. Because there's some stuff I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. And that's fine. That's wonderful. But there's a gate that we forget. Sometimes we don't even consider it a gate. But if we don't take care of it, it affects all of the other ones. Because this thing is the one that determines what you do with the other gates. And that's your thoughts. What are you thinking? What are you meditating on? We have to start thinking about that. You go on the internet and you go to any of the browsers and they have news things on it. And if you go to Yahoo, they have all kinds of little things on there. And I clicked on one and it talked about this actress and it said in a revealing bikini. Well, guess what? I saw that with my eyes. But now my thoughts have to kick in. And my thoughts say, you don't want to see her in a bikini. And my heart is like, you are absolutely right. Why? I don't care what the person looks like in a bikini. I know who I like to see in a bikini. But my thoughts, what I think about, is going to determine, it's going to determine how I'm going to be affected by what I see. Or what I hear. That's what look at 1 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I think it's 2 Corinthians 5. I'll do that. Corinthians 5. No. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Thank you. I'll start with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity some of your thoughts to the... I'm sorry? Oh, it says every thought? Oh, Pastor Clinton said, I beg your pardon. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look at the Message Bible. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies. Rounding up homosexuals, fencing them off, and waiting for them to die is a warped philosophy. Okay. Tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Now listen to this. I love the way the Message Bible put this. Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. Take every loose thought, every renegade thought, every renegade emotion, every renegade impulse, you grab it and you force it to fit into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. Period. And you have to get violent with it. Because that thought is going to want you to do what it's thinking. And if we just allow it to hang out there, it's going to get into your heart. And then it's going to come out of your mouth, and it's going to show itself in your actions. Because that thought does not want anyone to know you're made in the image and likeness of God. That's what it's designed for. To take you away from that image. Pastor Sarah must have said a number of times on Sunday, you have to understand, you're not just shaped, made in his image and likeness on the outside, it's also inside. It has to be on the inside. She said it several times. And I was thinking about it. And I'm like, that's absolutely right. We have to realize that there's an image within. And that image within will come without. Whatever that image is. And I realize that just from how I used to be. And I also realize, and I don't like it, but I have to realize and acknowledge that it's so, is that sometimes I let it show up. Because I'm right, or I think I'm right. I think I'm right is much better. Is much more accurate than I'm right. Because there are times when I'm wrong. But I have to do a better job capturing that thought and shoving it back into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. I have to do it. It's not going to say, you know what? I don't belong in here. I don't know why I came. Let me just go back into the Christ structure where I belong. No, it's not going to say that. It's a renegade thought. It's going to do what it wants to do. And we have to stop letting it. And you say, well, how do we let it? Let me take you back. You think about your life before Christ. Or maybe your life after you received Christ. But before you really started living a Christ-centered life. And you think about that you know, sweet little thing that you saw. Or that smooth-talking guy. And you meet, and you go, and you think about him. You think about the day and how you were talking and how she laughed or how he laughed. Sometimes you think about it and you close your eyes and just go, just shake your head, just thinking about it. But it's still G-rated. It's still G-rated. But as it continues, you start thinking and wondering about other things. Now it's PG. Okay. And you don't stop because it's still okay. All right. So you start doing some of the G stuff and some of the PG stuff, and next thing you know, you're PG-13. And now you start, those thoughts are saying, this is what it would be like at the next step. And you start thinking and meditating on that. And you move up to R. And you still don't stop. You know, every now and then a thought comes in and says, you know, maybe this isn't right. But no, it's okay. I can handle it. But then you start thinking about going to the next rating. I wonder how it would be. You say, where are you getting all this stuff? From Genesis? But look at Genesis 3. I mean, it's like that book, Everything I Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. Okay, like everything we need to know, we learned in Genesis. Okay. I mean, look at this. Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw. How many of you ever looked up that word, saw? What do you think it means? It means you see with your eyes, but it means something else. I looked at that. When the woman regarded, when the woman perceived, when the woman considered. What do you need to regard, perceive, or consider? Thoughts. When the woman was thinking about the tree, and in thinking about it, realized, this be a good tree. It looks good. It probably tastes good. I get some knowledge if I eat from this one. And the more they thought about it, opportunity presented, because that runaway thought wasn't, she didn't grab hold of it and put it back into that life literally shaped by Christ. Literally. And her husband standing right there had to be thinking the same, because he didn't do anything. You think I'm a nice guy? Let someone come and do some stuff with that lady sitting over there. You have to pray for me, because I'm not going to stand by and let anybody try and talk my wife into doing anything that we both know is against God. You have to take me out. I'm serious. You have to take me out. But if I'm thinking the same thing, then I'm like, you want to try it? You go, no, you go. No, you go. Go ahead. I'm going to sit back here and see what happens. Okay. Well, we need to think about, if they weren't thinking about it, they probably wouldn't have done it. If their thoughts were on what God said only, anything that came, they would have grabbed it and stuck it right back into the structure of that life shaped by Christ. Because it's a runaway thought, and it's going to affect that image, that likeness, and I ain't having it. But if you're not thinking like that, you won't have that. And you'll have some of this other stuff that goes on. You know the term I use? You have a different testimony. Why? Because you've been thinking about things, and you didn't guard your heart. Proverbs tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak, and you will act on it. You will. I was thinking about Ananias and Sapphira again. And I like to try and figure out why people do stuff. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do. And when things, it doesn't make sense to me, and I just think, what is it? And these are some thoughts that I had on it. Because when I thought about this, I said, okay, why did they choose to do what they did? Why didn't they just sell the land and give all the money? Thoughts had to be there. And the Bible does not say what the thoughts were. You know, I'm just putting this out there, you know, just for consideration. You know, because I'm trying to put myself in that position. You have all these other Christians, and the way it looks to me, I'm putting myself in there, the way it looks to me that they have so much that they can go and sell stuff and give, bring all the proceeds, put them at the apostles' feet, and they don't have to sweat it. Because, hey, they have 20 parcels of land. I only had 2. They ain't any better than me. Just because I only have 2 and they have 25. Who do they think they are? And they go prancing to the apostles, here's the money. Like, I can't do that if I didn't want to. I can show them, I can give some money, I can do that. Then reality sets in. It's like, well, I really can't give all of it, but they don't have to know that. But this way they'll say, I'm just as good as they are. So I take part of it and go. I'm not thinking it's going to get and cause me to be slain. But I got to be thinking about something that's contrary to what God expects. And I think and I think and I think and I act. And I act. And when stuff happens and we wonder, how did this happen? Lord, I thought you said you'd keep me in safety wherever I go. And he's like, I do. I didn't tell you to go there. But you wanted to. You thought about it. And you thought about it. And you saw yourself doing it. And the opportunity came, and you did what you saw. See, that's the problem we have with our faith. We don't see ourselves doing and having what God said we should be doing and having, so we don't. Because we can't see it. We're too busy looking at the reverse of it. That we can see. I'm trying to understand why it took me so long to realize that I didn't have to put up with the stuff that I was putting up with physically. I'm amazed. I didn't enjoy it. Didn't like the way it felt, but yet I kept looking at it. And my thoughts were on it. And my thoughts were on everything that I remember being said that this thing had the potential to do. And I was acting like it could do it. And then suddenly, like the scales were removed from my eyes. I'm like, wait a minute here. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And it's the Word tells me it will quicken this mortal body by that Spirit that dwells in me. And I realized it was still in me. I started seeing myself having normal blood pressure. I started seeing it. Clear as a bell, I started seeing it. And I'm like, no, 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 no. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and with his stripes, I was healed of high blood pressure, and I started seeing it. And that's what consumed my thoughts. Not, I got to do this, and I got to do that. Can't talk right now, Pastor Ed. I got to take a reading. It's 193 over 110. What should I do? Feeling fine. Feeling one of the funniest things ever is we called him, by the way, our doctor, because he's watching, he's listened to us. He said to us the last time, he said, I need you to know I go to a holistic chiropractor. So so he could train me in nutritional approaches because I ain't taking any medicine. That's what our doctor said to us. That's what he's doing because he knows. But he said to me one time when I called him, he said, well, no, don't want you to take any medicine because I said, you wanted me to call you and tell you this is what it is. I'm not taking anything else. He said, no. He said, you told me that whenever you're ministering and right after you minister, everything's fine. It is. He said, then you go spend some time in prayer. That's what he said. Right? That's what he said. You need to go and spend some time praying. So he's got it. He's got it. What are you thinking about? And why are you thinking about it? They are renegade thoughts, and we need to grab them, and we need to force them back into a life, the structure of a life in Christ. Now, let me just share this with these just four more things, and then I'm going to stop, guys. 1 Corinthians 3. Could you turn there, please? Then we're going to go to Philippians 2 and 1 John 4. It's important to know what's in us. We're going to read these verses together. 1 Corinthians 3, let's read verse 16. Yeah, let's read. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? When we read that, you can say, in me. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Look at Philippians 2. This is why I know we have the ability and we're capable of taking those renegade thoughts and forcing them back into the structure of a life in Christ. Let's read verse 13 in Philippians 2. For it is God which worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is at work in me. He's at work in me so that I can grab that renegade thought and shove it back in the structure of a life in Christ, shaped by Christ. 1 John 4. Let's read verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have to realize this is what's in us. God put his Spirit in us so we have the ability to control our thoughts and to monitor what we allow to go into our hearts. Let me show you that. Look at Hebrews 4. See, we have to just let this happen. Hebrews 4, look at verse 12. Let's read that. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And listen to this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God will let you know that what you're allowing, that's on the path to your heart, shouldn't be there. It lets you know you need to do something about that thought, and it'll tell you every single time. Because the Word of God doesn't get tired. The Word of God doesn't have enough of you already. The Word of God is always going to be sharp and quick. And he's going to tell you in a hurry. Because the longer it takes, the more damage that can be done. I'm going to show you this, and then that's it. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Or even more specifically, we're made in the image and likeness of the Godhead. And it's not just an external, it's also an internal. Look at John 14. The Godhead is comprised of whom? Okay, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Okay. Just follow me. I'm going to read verses 16 to 18. John 14. Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth," where? "With you, and shall be," "shall be in you." What shall be in you? The Holy Ghost. Is he a member of the Godhead? Are we sure? Okay, look at John, sealed in John 14, look at verse 20. Let's read that. "And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye are in me, and I in you." Now wait a minute, where is Jesus is in the Father? And he's in us. And the Father's in him. So that means the Father's in. So let's see. So we got the Holy Ghost in us. We have God in us. And we have Jesus in us. That's the Godhead, folks. In us. Abiding with us. And we can't allow his image and likeness to be seen? And it's in us? We need to understand what we put in us will show on the outside. You put the wrong food in you, it's going to show up. You put the right food in you, it's going to show up. What you put in you will show up on the outside sooner or later. We have the three-in-one in us. We have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Even that verse says, that's in you. We have no excuse. We have the image within. We have the image without, so to speak. All we have to do is use what's working, what's greater than in the world, that's in us, and capture those renegade thoughts and just shove it back into the structure of a life shaped by Christ, and watch how you'll change, and watch how this world will change. Father, we thank you, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank you. Yes, Father, this wasn't kind of an unorthodox service for us. You kind of just started, and we don't mind because you're the teacher of the church. And all that's important is that what you want to come across, what you want conveyed, is conveyed. And even though you gave us a protocol, because you're the one that gave it to us, you can change it anytime you desire. Because all that's important is what happened, that your people heard tonight from you. We thank you, Father, that each person understood clearly what, not only what you had to say, but the individual roles that we all play in what you had to say. We are one body, but we are many members. But those many members make up the one body. So if one of us miss it, the whole body misses. Father, you so love the world that you sent your Son. And you went on to say that you did not send Jesus into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Jesus told us, as you sent him, so he is sending us. So in the same way, Father, we are not here to condemn the world, but that the world, through our sharing your love, Sharing Christ with them will make a choice to be saved. We lift up, Father, we lift up those that would speak vile words against your children just because they're walking in darkness. Lord, we know that's not of you. And we just pray, Father, since we know the entrance of your word giveth light, it gives understanding to the simple, that you will shower them with your word so they will see the light and understand that they are to dispense life and love, not death and hate. And we are not going to be hypocritical, Father. We're not going to condemn them either for what they're doing, but we're praying for them because they're part of the body. And you said concerning the body, each joint supply it. So even though they may have a bent slant, they're joints that they're supposed to supply. Show them, Father, just what you showed us, how they are to take those renegade thoughts and shove them back into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. We lift up, Father, all of your people, not just those that are doing the sin of homosexuality, but anything that's not pleasing to you, we lift them up and we ask you to send your children across their path who will love them back to the obedience of Christ. And for that, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name.